So today was a day I was like, I'm so tired of carrying this stuff emotionally. Do you know what I mean? And how you just like, I'm fed up. I just turned 58. I'm tired of it. And I'm like, I'm laying it down. You know, whether it be condemnation or guilt of stuff I did when I was like 19 or just years ago. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm like, I can't carry it anymore. I'm just, at what point am I going to say, I'm exhausted. I can't do it anymore. You know? Yeah, it was like a, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that's a victory in your life?
You know, sometimes it's just a decision. Sometimes it's just a decision. And at some point you say, I'm tired of being like this, whatever the this is for you. And God says, I'm so glad you're now on the page with me. Yes, he's given you all things richly to enjoy. If we're not enjoying life, there's something messed up. And it's not with God. And he doesn't want us dragging past with us. It's a weight that we weren't meant to carry. That's why it always feels so heavy. We weren't meant to carry that stuff. And God doesn't even have a record of it. Stupid stuff we've done. Sin. It's called sin. I call it stupid stuff. Sin is stupid. Sin will make you stupid. I heard Dee said that one time, and I picked that up. I go, that is the truth. He said, sin will make you stupid. You'll make choices otherwise you never would have made. You'll do things, you'll say things you never would have said or done. Yeah. And even sometimes you can just be affected by other people's sin. But since you didn't know how to handle it, you still were stupid. And you carried it as if you had created the scenario, and you didn't. The guilt, the shame, whatever, something you couldn't control, didn't it? God says, yes, now we can move on. Now we can move on from here. Amen. Is that registered to anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all can be seated. I'm going to share a praise report. Y'all want to hear something good? It's about me. Y'all know I kind of started a journey a few years ago with my health when I kind of had a health crisis. And my cholesterol was like 242. And I was like 40-something extra pounds than I am now. And it was kind of a wake-up call. Like, oh my gosh. Because when your cholesterol is really high, that means you're all plugged up. It's sludge. It turns into plaque. When plaque breaks off, if it goes to your brain, you've had a stroke. If it goes to your heart, you've had a heart attack. Okay, it's very dangerous. So I said, okay, I'm gonna do what you're telling me to do. And so at first I was discouraged because after months, it had only dropped 11 points. So I was still like in trouble. And then and then it went down like maybe nine more after that. Slow go. And then I thought, mine must really be bad for it to be taking so long. So it made me more determined. Has when something doesn't happen make you more determined? So instead of being discouraged, I got more determined. I go, I'm doing this. I am doing this that God told me to do. And so last year, I decided I'm going to get somebody to do all my blood work for me here locally. So I had to know somebody, so I went to her. And she immediately wanted to put me on calcium and all this kind of stuff. And I said, why? You don't eat any animal products. You don't ever drink any milk. You're going to have to. And I said, let's do blood work. Well, my calcium was fine because plants are full of calcium. Anyway, and I told some of y'all have heard this before. And I said, well, see what the cow gets his calcium from what he eats, right? She said, yeah. And I said, I'm just bypassing the cow. And so I ate tons of salads and leafy greens and stuff like that. And she said, well, I said, go ahead, check it. You'll feel better. Just go ahead. I'm not going to pay for it, but she's going, whatever. And so she did, and it came back, and it was fine. And so, but my cholesterol was still high. And so she ran the test and everything, and when I went back for my results, it was like 202. And I thought, wow, I'm getting somewhere. Something's really happened. And from 242, 202. And she says, your cholesterol's fine. I said, not to me. It's 2.0. And I said, I want mine to get down to 150. So I went back this past week, and she ran blood work, and I got my blood work stuff. My cholesterol's down 170. Yeah. Everything in my whole chart is perfect. Everything. Like nothing. No meds, nothing. And I'm giving God praise. I'm putting the praise where it goes. It goes to God. 170. I mean, that was like kind of just a wish in the beginning. And then it's like, no, it's going to go down. And I believe it's going to keep going down until it's at 150, which is the absolute, this is like what athletes have. Seriously, just really, really the best health ever is like 150. And so all my triglycerides, everything. And so I just wanted to praise God. And and she always checks my B12. My B12 is always fine. You just take your B12. So I wasn't deficient in anything from not eating animal products for almost 3 years now. So that's just to put that out there. But I just want to God will tell you what to do. Obey the God you say you serve. We are individuals. God treats us individually and tells and talks to him. But he's my daddy. He talks to me. He's a great parent. We are his children. He took responsibility for us when he went to the cross because we were stolen. God's kids were stolen from him through sin. They were hijacked and deceived by Satan himself. And many people live there their whole life. They live in deceit about all kinds of things because they're not listening to what God says about you. You're going by how you feel, what other people have said about you, experiences you've had. Hogwash. You don't go by any of that. The Word tells you who you are. Get in the Word. You'll find out who you are. And he says, you're more than overcomers, by the way. You're more than overcomers. Overcome what? Whatever was trying to overcome you. Take you out. Take it out. Whatever's trying to take you down. Kick it out. You can do this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You'll find a strength the more you determine in your heart you're going to obey. Will you do it perfectly all the time? No. But he already knew that too. And he's factored that in to the fact he's still going to have you overcome. Amen. So I just want to share, that's just a personal praise report of kind of, you know, a life is a journey. So what's going on with your journey? Is it getting better or is it getting worse? You know? Because, see, God isn't going to fix your journey. What he's going to do is he's going to talk to you about your walk. He's going to talk to you about your journey is what he's going to do. And obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care what you do. If we're not obeying God, we cannot get to where he wants us to get. God is more eager for you to get somewhere that you want to be than you are. And a lot of times he's really waiting on us. We don't want to get in the Word. We want to be fed the Word. I mean, most people don't even take notes. I mean, when I go to class at kids, I take notes on everything they're saying. I have a special book where I put notes so I can go back over them. This is class, peeps. Anyway, just put that out there so y'all can be real feeling real edified right now. I'm going to talk to you today about rooted. Are you rooted? Are you rooted? There's all kinds of things where the Bible talks, he wants us to be rooted in love. But I think a lot of people, they're not really rooted. They're not rooted in the Word of God. And so when obstacles come, situations come, they really don't know what to do. Because what's coming to them is something of the natural, something that's of this world. How to fix, whatever. For so many situations, and I'm not saying God won't use those things, but it's got to be something. Did you hear God? Have you heard God? Have you heard God talk to you? He says, my sheep know my voice. If you don't hear God, there's something wrong. My question would be, are you a sheep? He said, my sheep hear me. I think sometimes God is speaking to his sheep, but they don't know that that's God. And so they don't stop and listen and say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. We don't give him a place where he can come in and really finish the dialogue with us. We dismiss it. And then we revert back to a fix that would be of this world system. And it's really hard to grow in the Lord when you don't know if he's talking to you or not. He talks to us. He speaks through his word, but he also just talks to us. It'll be like a thought for the life of you. You weren't thinking at all. And it'll be something that's good. It won't be something condemning. God doesn't come to condemn us. There's enough going on with that. He already knew that. He never approaches his own children with condemnation. Did you know that? He will approach you with correction, which is not the same thing at all. When God corrects you, it's always out of love. And you'll feel his love. And then he'll say, I'm going to help you. We're not walking this walk alone. Praise his name forever. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Ephesians 3. I'm going to talk to you about rooted. I'm going to start in verse 8. God, I thank you for your word. Your word brings life to us. Even your correction is sweet because you're trying to help us. We seems like just stumble around the dark so often, wishing that life was different, not understanding that the power is within us so that our life can be different. Help us to not ignore your word and just rely on human reason, which is so messed up. It's of this world system. And whatever the part of the world we grow up in. So God, help us just be open today. I'm going to say, you know what? I want to hear what God has to say to me. When he talks to me, I want to hear him. I want to know. I want to stop. I want to listen. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's go down to verse 8. Paul's writing the church at Ephesus. He had so many things. The book of Ephesians is just full of goodies. He says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. This is Paul. This is how Paul saw himself. Such humility. He was bold, but he was very humble. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Now, we find out he's going through all kinds of things. Does he sound like he was? Not at all. When you're going through something, do you sound like you are? For this reason, he's to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole world, the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the spirit in the inner man. He wants our spirit in the inner man, that inner part of you that is of him. It is his spirit that came to unite with your spirit. You have a brand new spirit when you're born again. We were created in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, for good works, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able. Now, there's a preface to being able to do something. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth, and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God's desire is for us to be rooted in love. When you're rooted in love, you're rooted in God. God is love. When people say, you know, I love God, but are you rooted in the love of God? There's a difference. Because when we talk about love, most people, unless you've had really some encounters with God, it's just a human love. It's a human love. And for a lot of people, it's very transient. It comes, it goes. It's like, I just love my boss. And 2 weeks later, do you know what she said? And then I just told her, you know, oh, 2 weeks, you loved your boss 2 weeks ago. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So it can be very flighty, very temporal, temporary. God's love is a permanent fixture in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. There's like this, it's really started happening, I want to say, last summer even. Just this absolutely falling in love with God at a level I had never maintained before. But I'm finding being maintained. Where when I sing to him, or when I just, sometimes I can just be driving down the road, and I'm doing a lot more driving now, y'all know, and I'll just look at the sunset, or I'll just have a thought, or he'll take me to something where I know he got me through that. I know he did that for me. I know he did it. And I'll just say, you just always have been so good to me. And it wasn't because of me. It's because he's good. God is good. God is love. He knows no other way, the Bible says. He doesn't know how to not love. And when you are born again and your spirit is created in Christ Jesus, you receive a God kind of love in you. We are his offspring. So when we're full of the, you cannot really consistently love other people unless you have a revelation of how much God loves you. You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll get angry. You'll get angry. You'll get fed up. You'll be upset with their shortcomings or what they haven't learned yet or whatever. You won't be able to walk in that. And you'll have moments of it, maybe in worship or something, but you won't be able to maintain it. You won't be able to maintain it the next day when your schedule is so crazy hectic. You'll forget about how much God loves you. And it's almost like we need an alarm and our phone to go off every hour or something and say, God really does love you. You have the love of God in you. What the world needs is to see that. They don't need to hear Christians complain. They don't need our pettiness. They need to see the love of God. It's the biggest need in the human heart. It's to have real relationships. They're so quick to cut you off if you say something they don't agree with or they don't like or whatever. Just so quick, like you were just trying to help. You were trying to say something that was truthful. I mean, well, not everybody wants to hear the truth. And so then you get cut off from those people. Even when your heart is to help, your motivation is love. I saw this with Jesus all the time in the Bible. He was motivated by love. He was love on foot, God on foot. God is love. So when Jesus was here, this was God on foot showing us what God is like. Long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit in his walk here on planet Earth. And he says, and by the way, when you're born again, you got the same fruit. You have the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of the Spirit, it's not something you're trying to attain. You have that. But when you don't think you have that, you say, I just need to pray for more patience. You're already off. Instead of claiming what you already have and saying, I have patience. What I'm going to do is get in this book until it manifests in my life. I have patience. God gave that to me. Because when we're always praying for something he gave you, that's just a slap to him. And sometimes it's a grief to him. Like, why don't you know this? He says, I've given you all things richly to enjoy. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness, the Bible says. You already have what you need. He's given it to you freely. Why? Because he loves you. He didn't leave us here helpless and stupid. He didn't leave us here. He left us here and gave us a helper just in case we forget things. He says, I will leave you. Go. You say, well, how does he do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Blessed Holy Spirit, our helper. He said, you people need help. I know y'all do. I'm sending it. I am going to send that for you. When he's talking about rooted, the word rooted means it's been developed from something else. Sometimes it's a seed from something else. And then builds a root system. Rooted means very strong. Firmly fixed. And there's some things if you're going to, some weeds are really tough to pull up. Have y'all noticed? When I was a kid growing up, that was one of my jobs, to pull weeds in the flower beds. And I felt like I was in a wrestling match with those things sometimes. You know, when I was a kid, and I was like, you're coming up out of there. I didn't even go get a trowel or something. You're coming up. I'm going to dig around you, and you're coming up. You're coming out of there. Because it was so rooted. It was so fixed. There are things in our heart that can be rooted and fixed in us that you don't know is there. And then there'll be an occasion you said, my God, my Lord and my God, I did not know that was in me. Ooh, when did that go in there? There are things that go into you when you're growing up as children. There are things you hear in church that aren't true your whole life growing up. It's kind of a mixture. It's a truth mixed in with something else, which I call a lie. I don't think that people try to do that. I don't think they mean to do that. It's just we've been more influenced by this world system than the Word of God. And sometimes people just don't want to study anything. They don't understand what it means, but they don't want to study to find out what it really was saying. And so they say have all these things they say over and over and over, and it's kind of like, you know, that's not exactly what that meant. We have to be rooted in the love of God. You'll never be rooted in the love of God unless you know how much God loves you. You have to have asked God for a revelation. You really have to have a revelation of it. You can't teach somebody this. I can tell it to you, but I can't teach it. I mean, because it's an experience. It's like nobody can make you have a revelation. You really can't. I'm telling you this today so that you'll be open to it. And that you'll say, God, reveal that to me. I need that really revealed to me, your love for me. And some people might say, well, I haven't always felt the love of God. Well, that's your soul. It's not your spirit. God wants us to live out of our spirit. Your mind, will, and emotions, that's not your soul. That's your mind. And they were pre-programmed by the world system you were born into. You're the way you think about yourself, the way you think about everybody. Tall people, short people, men, women. It's all been programmed into you. Okay? Whatever you are around, or experiences you've had, or something you read. The Bible says we've all been made one in Christ Jesus. And that there's neither male nor female. We've all been made one in Christ Jesus. In other words, we all have the same spirit that came to indwell us. which means we all have the fruit of the Spirit. We all have the capacity to love more deeply, more consistently, and more like Jesus than most of us do. So when you find yourself praying for a fruit of the Spirit, you need to check yourself and say, why am I praying for that? I have that. Everything you think you don't have, you'll never act on. But when you say, no, I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have self-control. Well, they said that. I had to say self. No, you have the spirit of self-control. We can control the things that we say, where we go, what we do. We can control that. God said we can. You say, well, I have trouble in certain areas of control. Well, okay, well, sign up on the line with everybody else. But he says, but you can overcome. He's made us to be overcomers too. He did not leave us here helpless is what I'm trying to say. So many times I'm around people and the way they prayed, they're praying these helpless, desperate prayers. I'm not desperate. How can you have God living in you and pray and be desperate? I mean, think about what I'm saying. If you're actually actively believing God lives in me, then how can I feel desperate? That's lack of knowledge. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. And the whole time I've been doing this process that I shared earlier about my praise report, it's like, you set your face like a flint and say, God's word says this. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I can do all things. Does that mean I can do anything? Everything he wants me to do. Everything he calls me to do. He will equip me. He will help me. He will show me. He will teach me. He will train me. Trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Mercy. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the one that's going to split that eastern sky. And all the demons are going to tremble. Satan doesn't have power over you. He was stripped over you. Why? Because Jesus came to live inside of you. But if you don't know that, you'll keep asking God for stuff he declared he gave you. He said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Yeah, but you just don't know because the doctor says such and such and such and such. I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Now, which one are you going to listen to? You'll never act on something you don't really believe. You won't do it. You won't do it. You won't. You won't be able to. I'm telling you the truth. The truth you know makes you free. When you never hear the truth, you cannot get free. Because it takes the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And the life. And whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Which means he's with you always, even unto the end of the age. He said, I'm with you. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And I'm living in you. And I'm not. We are not orphans. Praise God. Merriam-Webster says to be rooted is like to furnish with or enable to develop roots. Strong's Concordance says that the root of Christianity is love. Strong's Concordance says it means to become stable. When you're rooted in love. And I made a note, the root of Christianity is love. I wrote that in green, bright green in my notes. God is love. If you have God, you have the very root of love living in you. And we have to be rooted and grounded in love. You also have to be rooted and grounded in truth. And I was listening to, on the way back, several podcasts, whatever, when I was coming back from Texas last night, and just our early church fathers, where they got some of their ideas and some of their writings and things that they wrote, and also some of the philosophers of the time period, and during the Greek era that Paul and Jesus lived through, and where so many of the laws and everything came from these philosophers. There were a bunch of them. And I was just thinking their influence, because their early influence was already in the people there when Paul was making a lot of writing a lot of the word and stuff like that. But I love so often how Paul just reminds them of God. He always brings all of them back from all their different walks of life and being under, they were under Roman rule, but they were under Greek culture. Rome made laws, but the Greek culture was dominant during Jesus' life and also through the entire ministry of Paul. And, you know, there are just certain things you have to keep in mind. Like, study to show yourself approved unto God. Our workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we divide things up correctly, what it is and what it means. And a lot of people, they read the Bible, but they read the Bible through Western eyes. I even bought a book one time, Reading the Word Through Western Eyes. We see it according to the way we were raised. you can't do that. When you go to cultures all over the world, they're very, very different. If you go into their culture with Western eyes and just your attitudes about whatever, you are not going to be very well received. And everybody who does missions work or anything, they know. You have got to know the culture you're fixing to step into. And a lot of it will not agree with you. But if you're going to minister, you can't just go in and bash everything that people esteem and think they're going to listen to anything you have to say. Anyway, I'm just saying when you're reading things, you know, we have to consider where are these people? What has their life been like? And I can say a whole lot more about that, but that's not my sermon today, so I'll say that. Look in Psalm 139. Let's go over there. If you will, this morning, please. 139, verses 23 and 24. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David believed that God knew him well enough to know if he was missing the mark somewhere. David believed that God could even know his motives. You see this all through the writings of David in the Psalm and other places as well. But he says, "Search me, O God, heart." We don't even know our own heart. David said, "I need you to search my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my fears, my struggles, and see if there's any wicked way in me." He wasn't sure he could get it right. He said, "I may have a wicked way in me and I'm not aware of it. Because to everybody else I may seem fine, but to God I may have a wicked way in me." He said, "See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." He was looking beyond something that's just here. Are you looking beyond just here, or is your just about tomorrow and getting through this week? Say, God put eternity in our hearts, y'all. You know, if you ever see yourself in a coffin in your mind, you really can't imagine yourself dead. While you're seeing yourself in a coffin, you're still thinking. When you're dead, you don't think anymore. Like here. You can maybe picture something in the coffin with you. You can picture all, but you really can't imagine yourself dead. Because while you're trying to imagine yourself dead, you're still imagining. It doesn't cease. Your thoughts don't cease. And it's because you are eternal. You are eternal. When you die, your body does. Your soul and spirit don't. Are y'all aware of that? Your body, your heartbeat stops, but you don't. You are a spirit. You live in a body. and you have a soul. And it's real important that we're not too attached to everything here. But while we're here, we need to understand how much God loves us. Have a revelation of how much God loves you. You won't be able to make the changes He wants you to make. You'll try to do it yourself. When you make changes, you do it out of this revelation of how much God loves you. And it makes it so much easier to change. He's not changing for you. A revelation of God's love for you causes you to have a love for God you didn't have before. You were just trying to serve God. But now He really is God. It's just a big difference. In Psalm 139, you know, it's like, it's almost like David is aware that God is aware of what he's thinking even. So he had this awareness of God, of someone who is aware of him. This was before Jesus even. But he had this idea that God is aware of me. God sees me. And I know I can have wickedness in me. So I'm calling out to God so that he can deal with my heart. And of course that was old covenant. We have a much closer, different relationship because of Jesus. And our new covenant is better than the old covenant. But I just want you to be aware of that. That David was aware he could have a root of something wicked in him. And he didn't want it in him. Now look in Psalm 19, verse 21. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. So there again, it's this awareness of there are many plans that we can have in our heart, but it's the Lord's counsel that's ultimately going to stand. No matter what you're planning, if you're planning things, it could be even good things, but if it wasn't God's thoughts, it wasn't God's plan, a lot of times people try to do their own plan, but they want God to bless what they decided to do. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, David said to Solomon, his son Solomon, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. God knows why you're thinking what you're thinking. He knows the intention you have with the thought you're thinking. What do you intend to do about it? What is your intention with what you're thinking about? Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God understands what you're thinking, why you're thinking it. He knows what your thought is going to also lead to. Our thoughts lead to another thought that leads to another thought. Thoughts are connected. And so when God comes to interrupt your thought with something of the word, pay attention to what he's saying to you. There's a reason why he's interrupting your thought process. And it will always be because of his love. It will always be because of his love for you. I think until we really know, super really know how much God loves us, we can't really walk in love as God designed us to. If it's not in you, if it's not in your awareness, it's nothing you act on. There's nothing for you to act on. It has to be almost like a consuming fire where you are so... You're so in love with how God has loved you. And it makes you want to know him more than you've ever known him before. You don't want to know him just a Sunday school lesson or whatever. You want to know him as deep calls into deep. You want to know him as the one with whom you have to do, the one with whom you will stand before. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him. But we need to be in awe of him. The Bible teaches that we're to be motivated by love. In your serving of God, or the things you do for God, are you motivated to love God? There's a lot of churchiosity where people have, you know, well, that's my job, I do that. And they take great pride in what they do. Everything that we do, God says, needs to be motivated by love. Even the duties we perform, and there is a duty, the Bible talks about our reasonable service to God. But it needs to be motivated by love. 1 John 4:16 says this, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." I love this about John, because John always said, you know, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a revelation of the love. I've thought about that for years. Why would he say something like that? But he reminded himself. Every time he wrote, you see John reminding himself the one Jesus loves. And I think on some level he must have needed that. Because he says it so often. He's not saying it to be cocky. He's saying it as that he had a revelation of how much God loved. The one Jesus loved. I'm the one Jesus loved. He really wanted to connect deeply with that level of love. Because they always messed up. All of them. They all. Like, none of them really got it. They didn't believe. You know, I mean, it's just over and over and over. But he had at least gotten that revelation. He loves me. The one Jesus loved. And I guess maybe he was the only one who had that revelation. Or he too, that Jesus loves and put somebody else's name in. I don't know. But I think he, and you need to say that to yourself. I'm the one Jesus loves. God loves me. You're having a terrible time. Maybe you were a little frisky when the light turned green and they didn't go. Y'all know what I mean by being a little frisky when the person behind you is oblivious and they're the first one in line and people behind you are hawking and you're sitting there and lo and behold, they've taken a trip to Disney World while they're sitting in the car or something, but they're not going when the light turns red. And you're just like, oh. God loves me. I'm the one God loves. And it will quicken something in you. Like, if God loves me, then that means I have his love. If I have his love, I can be more patient. So instead of laying on the horn, you might just give a little friendly tap. Because after all, you do have to go. That's true. But you don't have to lose your mind over it. Don't understand. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Bible says. It's these little things. They add up, and at the end of the day, oh, you wouldn't believe what kind of day I had today. Well, let me tell you. No, let me go first, because, I mean, I got to get this off my chest. It's going, nobody wants all that. Nobody wants that. When you go somewhere, do you contaminate the atmosphere of the room? Was it peaceful when you walked in? But you want them to know how miserable you've been that day. Doesn't that just bless everybody? I just pass on things that God tells me, y'all. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that we are sinners. Christ died for us. I've thought about that one so many times in my life. They're nailing him to the cross. And you know what he says? Y'all just back off and leave me alone. Boy, when I raise from the dead, I'm going to get y'all. No, he didn't say that. That's not what he said. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then later, one of them says, truly, this was the Son of God. Right? So how we handle the love of God that he's already put in you is a big deal. We're stewards of that love of God. Keep it bright in your heart. Don't let anything steal that from you. The devil is a thief, a robber. He's a liar. He'll self-conscious. He wants to make every situation just about you. Did you know that? You're the only one who's ever been hurt. You're the one who's ever gone through anything. You know, I mean, there are people that there's. I've never told a whole bunch of stuff about my life. This whole church, like ever. Because it's not going to edify you. It's not going to help you with your life. The only thing I know that's going to help you is what's in this book. I can tell you what Jesus did for you. And I'd rather spend my time telling you what Jesus did for you than what I've been through in my life. But I can tell you the love of God is real. Y'all stand up, please. The love of God is real. Begin to ask God, I want a real revelation of how much you love me. Because when that taps you over and over all throughout the day, it will change your motivation for everything you do and why you are doing it. You will have a curve like you never have before. Because it's not about your position. It's not about how well you could sing or do. That doesn't even enter in. It's just, I get to serve you in your kingdom, God. Because I'm your child. And you loved me with an everlasting love. There's not a day that I'll ever get up when God won't love me. Because I've been born into his kingdom. You'll bow your heads, please. And this is also for people on Facebook. If you have not been born into the kingdom of God, I invite you today to do that. God loves you. God's love is very real. It's tangible. It's real. Life will never be what you want it to be apart from God, is all I can tell you. And the devil is a liar. And many of the things in our world system, they're not eternal. They're not helping you with your life. Why don't you let the one who loves you the most come in and be your best friend? He'll talk to you. He'll love you on days when you hate yourself. He'll love you. He will love you. When you don't feel lovable, when you don't feel like you deserve his love, he will love you because he's God and he is love. Give him your life today. Just say, thank you, Jesus. You made this possible for me. For God so loved the world, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son so that I wouldn't perish, so I wouldn't be saved. See, hell is a place of separation from love for all eternity. Nobody in hell likes anybody. Nobody in hell loves anybody. They just live a life of terror. And it wasn't because God didn't come to them and love them. The Bible teaches that God has revealed himself to every person. I don't care what they're saying. He says he has. I believe God. This is why so many people in other nations that are so oppressed, they begin to cry out to the Christian God and they get saved. Because he dealt with their heart first and they just responded. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, you need to today. You just believe that He did pay for your sins. He paid for them. Believe His offer that He paid for you, or in hell you'll pay for them forever. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not playing. This is not something you play with. It's the Word of God. Give Him your life. Say, God, whatever there is of me, I'm giving myself to You. I believe You did die for me. I believe, Jesus, I believe You did. You did die on that cross. You took my sin. You wiped my record clean. And there'll never be another sin on my record again. Thank You, Jesus, for what You did. Amen. There's an old expression, and people have used it when they're angry, like they do a lot of expressions. It's for the love of God. Have you ever seen people, and they use it when they're, well, for the love of God. And they do that with Jesus' name, too. It's just the... You see how this world system taints everything that's really pure and clean, that's of God? For the love of God. For God so loved that He gave. Amen? I'm hoping today that you will press in and say, I am going to know the love of God. The more you know how much God loves you, the more you're going to change. Will you be perfect? No. But you'll have peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace the Bible talks about. That you can live a life of peace instead of fretting and worrying about everything all the time. And while people think all that stuff, you get to where you just don't care anymore. Seriously, you just care less and less. Because that's that world on you all the time. And you look at the ministry of Jesus. We're called to be like Jesus. And His Spirit is the same in every human being that He comes to indwell. He has different things for us to do. But it's the same Spirit. There's just one Spirit of God. And He comes into each believer. The Bible says we've become one in Christ Jesus. So nobody's more important than anybody else. Nobody's more special than anybody else. We're just different. We're just different. And so we walk in love. You'll be happier. Your relationships will be much better. If you don't feel like you have to say everything every time you disagree with somebody, you don't have to set them straight. No, I don't say that. Just love people. Love people. You got to love people where they are. Why? It's what God did for you, me. He loved me where I was. He can't love me where I'm not. He comes to you where you are. But He doesn't leave you there. He didn't leave you there. I love y'all. Does anybody want prayer for anything this morning? Okay. Well, Sarah, so glad you could be with us.